ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
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 Srimad Bhagavatam, 3rd Canto, Chapter 2, Remembrance of Lord Krishna, Text 21. Swayam
tu
asamya
adishaya
tri adisha swaraja
lakshmi
apta samastakama Dalim Haradbi Chiralokapalai Kiritakoti Aditaparapita
Aditaparapita
Swayam Tasamyat Kshayastrayadisha Swaraja Lakshmiyapta Samastakama Balin Harad Vishkira Lokapalai Karita Kokyedita Parapita Sayanta Samyakta Shayastriyadisha Swaraja Lakshmiyapta Samastakama Valim Hadad Vishkira Lokapalai Kirita Kochyedita Parapita
Adisha,
Lord of the Three.
Swaraja,
Independent supremacy. Lakshmi. Fortunate. Apta. Achieved. Samasta kama. All desires. Balin. Worshipping paraphernalia. Hadadbi. Offered by. Chiralokapalai. By the eternal maintainers of the order of creation. Karita Koti. Millions of helmets. Edita Parapita. Feet honored by prayers. Translation. Lord Sri Krishna is the Lord of all kinds of threes and is independently supreme by achievement of all kinds of fortune. He is worshipped by the eternal maintainers of the creation, who offer him the paraphernalia of worship by touching their millions of helmets to his feet. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Lord Sri Krishna is so mild and merciful, as described in the above verses, and yet he is the Lord of all kinds of threes. He is the supreme Lord of the three worlds, the three qualities of material nature, and the three Purushas, Karnadakshayi, Garbhadakshayi, and Chirodakshayi, Vishnu. There are innumerable universes, and in each and every universe there are different manifestations of Brahma, Vishnu, and Rudra. Besides that, there is the Shesha Murti, who bears all the universes on his hoods. And Lord Krishna is the Lord of all of them. As the incarnation of Manu, he is the original source of all Manus in innumerable universes. Each universe has manifestations of 504,000 Manus. He is the Lord of the three principal potencies, namely Chit Shakti, Maya Shakti, and Tatastha Shakti. And he is the complete master of six kinds of fortune, wealth, strength, fame, beauty, knowledge, and renunciation. There is none who can excel him in any matter of enjoyment, and certainly there is none greater than him. No one is equal to or greater than him. It is the duty of everyone, whoever and wherever one may be, to surrender completely unto him. It is not wonderful, therefore, that all the transcendental controllers surrender to him and make all offerings of worship. Om Gana Chimanandasya Gananjana Shlaka Hapchakshan Tambina Tajma Shri Guru Vena Maha. It is interesting that today is the disappearance day of Sanatana Goswami. Yes? And this verse was quoted by Lord Chaitanya to Sanatana Goswami, and Lord Chaitanya gave a very expanded purport to this verse. As we all know, the two brothers, Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami, got personal instruction from Lord Chaitanya, and through them, Lord Chaitanya accomplished many purposes. Particularly in Chaitanya Charitamrita, we learn about Sanatana Goswami's body and how Lord Chaitanya viewed it. We also learn how Sanatana Goswami viewed his own body. And in this way, we learn about Vaishnava humility, and also we learn what happens when a devotee fully engages in the devotional service of the Lord. There is a transformation, and such a devotee cannot be considered in an ordinary way. Sanatana Goswami escaped from prison by using diplomacy with the jailmaster, and he, after a torturous journey, reached the shelter of Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya, being the omniscient super soul, knew that Sanatana Goswami was outside his door. So Lord Chaitanya told Chandrasekhar, please, there's someone outside to see me. Invite him in. Chandrasekhar went and looked, and he just saw what appeared to be a Muslim mendicant, because Sanatana Goswami was fleeing from his Muslim association, and also he had spent many days wandering or traveling through the wilderness regions to reach Lord Chaitanya. So he was obviously looking disheveled and wasn't looking in Vaishnava attire. Chandrasekhar went back and reported to Lord Chaitanya, there's simply a Muslim mendicant out there. Mahaprabhu said, nevertheless, bring that so-called Muslim mendicant in. And the so-called Muslim mendicant entered, and Lord Chaitanya rapidly walked towards Sanatana Goswami and embraced him. And both Sanatana Goswami and the Lord began to cry shoulder to shoulder. And then the Lord brought Sanatana Goswami to an elevated place. Sanatana Goswami, what was he thinking? Oh, how exalted I am, how I'm so great. No, he's thinking, how can the Lord touch me? I'm so low. And he told that to Lord Chaitanya. Please, do not put your hands on me. I'm very unclean. My association has been so bad. And what did Lord Chaitanya tell Sanatana Goswami? He said, I'm touching you just to purify myself. Because by the force of your devotional service, the entire universe can become purified. These are the loving exchanges between the Lord and his devotees. And by reading Chaitanya Charitamrita, we get a taste for actual personal reciprocation. And we develop the desire to reciprocate with devotees in some way, following in the footsteps of these great devotees of Lord Chaitanya, and also according to how the Lord himself would treat his devotees. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is telling Sanatana Goswami, I'm touching you just to purify myself. When Sanatana Goswami was seated by the Lord, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explained to him that no one can understand how Krishna is working. From deep within the heart of the devotee, the Lord arranges for the deliverance of the devotee. Sanatana Goswami had been immersed in materialistic association. As we all know, he was considered by society to be Muslim because all his associates were Muslims. Even though he was born in a high-class Brahmana family, by association, apparently, it could seem that he had become low-class. So Lord Chaitanya told him, who can understand how Krishna is acting in everyone's heart for their upliftment? And Prabhupada explained in the purport that once a devotee sincerely surrenders to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then the Lord acts in mysterious ways within the heart of that devotee to arrange for the devotee's purification and spiritual progress. So much so that the devotee himself or herself can't understand how it's happening. But Prabhupada pointed, it is happening because of the devotee's sincerity. So many times in our devotional arrangements and devotional service, we think, how am I making spiritual advancement? I'm doing the same thing every day. During my past few days here, several devotees have told me that. I'm in the kitchen and I just chop and clean day after day after day. Or another devotee told me, Maharaj, you don't know what it's like, you know, being in the same place with the same people year after year. I said, I think I do, because I think I was here for quite a few years in the same place. Living across the street, Archita and I and Dravida, and we never went anywhere off this block. We just went back and forth from the temple to the BBT building, day after day, year after year. We didn't know much about the rest of Los Angeles. So it can feel like that. How is Krishna working within me for my deliverance? It just looks like I'm doing the same thing every day. It was funny, yesterday, one devotee who works in the kitchen, he said, he was exulting. Every day the vegetables look so different. Every day seems like a new, wonderful experience in the kitchen. That is actually how devotional service is. In fact, in the fourth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, there's one verse explained by the Lord to the Pratetas. And the Supreme Personality of Godhead says that from within the heart of the sincere devotee, the Lord acts in such a way that the devotee sees everything as ever fresh. In other words, to external vision, it looks like the devotees are doing the same thing every day. But the super soul in the heart allows the devotee to see the ever-fresh spiritual reality, even though it looks like the devotee is doing the same thing every day. The devotee has a completely different vision from within. He's seeing fresh opportunities to serve Krishna, fresh chances to improve the service to Krishna. So it's especially important for us to understand this humble point that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told Sanatana Goswami. The Lord is within the heart of a sincere devotee, and he's arranging for the spiritual advancement of the devotee in such a way that the devotee himself may not understand. Nevertheless, the Lord is acting. That was Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's verdict upon the arrival of Sanatana Goswami, who Sanatana Goswami had just escaped from material existence. Familiarity in devotional service is a great enemy, and we may start thinking, what's going on? How am I making advancement? I just do the same thing every day? Where's the opportunity for me to be creative or show my own styles? Actually, when you start to think about how the goal of the temple community is to glorify Krishna, you see so many opportunities. But when you think that the goal is to please my senses, then life looks restricted and narrow. Looks a bit stark. What's in it for my senses? But when you think, what's in it for Krishna's senses? Krishna from within the heart then will inspire you to see so many opportunities how everyone can participate in the glorification of the Supreme Lord. And indeed, that is the purpose of this community, to glorify the Supreme Personality of Godhead and give everyone a chance to engage in service for doing that. Not only is there organized service, which Prabhupada relished so much, there's also the chance for individual devotional expression. Anyone can learn verses and come recite them before the deities. Anyone can think of some way that they can increase their Krishna consciousness by more hearing and chanting, by rendering service more conscientiously. The door is wide open for all kinds of personal innovation according to the 9 processes of devotional service. Once we understand that the goal is to glorify Krishna, then we are very happy to see Krishna glorified, and our vision expands, and we can see how everyone, all the devotees, they're participating in a network of glorifying Krishna. And in this way, we keep our vision fresh. Otherwise, if we start thinking, oh, it's the same service every day, the same buildings, the same people, every day I cross the street from my apartment to the temple, or I walk down the block, day after day after day after day after day, that means we've lost sight of what's going on here. What's going on here is Krishna's pleasure. And we're so fortunate to have a chance to give pleasure to Krishna. And we have room for our own individual spiritual expression. We can glorify Krishna. We can chant about Krishna. We can talk about Krishna. We can make plans how to improve our service. Yes, if you're simply doing the sublime service of cutting vegetables and cleaning the kitchen. You can make plans how to do it better and better, and Krishna from within your heart is noticing. Just see how this devotee is sincerely trying to serve me. The whole purpose is how to catch the attention of Krishna by rendering service. Now, the more opportunities that devotees have to catch the attention of Krishna by rendering devotional service, the more fortunate the devotees are. A devotee just wants to see, let the Lord be glorified, let the Lord be served, and then the devotee is happy. A devotee wants a chance to offer himself to herself to the Supreme Lord. Please, let me do some service for you. And then a devotee is always thinking, actually, I don't have any abilities to do any service. This we can learn from Sanatana Goswami. Once Lord Chaitanya began to instruct Sanatana Goswami, we see more of this humility of Sanatana Goswami coming out. Sanatana Goswami decided that because he had sores on his body, and the sores were oozing fluid, that he didn't want to go near the Jagannath temple because he felt, I'll just contaminate the pujaris who are walking nearby the temple. So he refrained from going to see Lord Chaitanya near the Jagannath temple. And in fact, Sanatana Goswami would take a roundabout way in Jagannath Puri. He would walk on the hot sands on the beach. And in this way, he didn't even notice that his feet were getting blistered. So, he began to think that every time I meet Mahaprabhu, he embraces me and the fluid from my sores is touching the body of the Lord. This is horrible. Just see how unfortunate I am. Just see how useless I am that I simply cause disturbances in devotional service. And just see what I'm doing to Lord Chaitanya. So Sanatana Goswami thought, if I commit suicide at Rathyatra, that will be the best thing that will happen to me. And in this way I can attain Krishna, and I will cease making offenses, everything will work out. So he had this plan that when Rathyatra came, he would throw himself under the wheel of the Jagannath cart, commit suicide, and in that way attain shelter at the lotus feet of the Lord without causing offenses with his sick body. This actually happened Rathyatra in Australia many years ago. The devotees were in Melbourne and they were ready to have the big Rathyatra in the city, and right before the cart was about to move, one old Indian lady, this is in the middle of the city, just as the cart started to move, she threw herself under the wheel of the cart. And so that was the end of the Rathyatra festival. The police just stopped it right there because, right in the center of the city, this lady had committed suicide by throwing herself under the wheel of the Rathyatra cart. So for many years, they couldn't have Rathyatra. So what could they do? Well, Sanatana Goswami, he had that plan. And once he was speaking to Lord Chaitanya, and without Sanatana Goswami saying anything about it, Lord Chaitanya suddenly said, do you think you can attain Krishna just by giving up your body? If that was true, I'd be prepared to give up millions of bodies. But no, you cannot attain Krishna by giving up your body. You can only attain Krishna through devotional service. Then Lord Chaitanya quoted Shastra, how Rukmini, she had written a letter, the famous kidnapping letter. She wrote to Krishna, please kidnap me. And she said, without you, if I don't attain you, what I'm going to do is just practice vows to reduce the duration of my life. And then I plan on giving up body after body until I attain you. Lord Chaitanya quoted this example from the chief queen of Dwarka. And then Mahaprabhu quoted from the gopis. when they came to meet Krishna in the Vrindavan forest in the dead of the night, the gopis said that we have such a fire of desire to please your senses, Krishna, that this fire can only be extinguished by the nectar from your lips. If you don't extinguish this fire in us, this fire is going to burn us, our bodies, to ashes. So in this way, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu quoted the mood of these greatest devotees of the Lord, who said, if we can't have Krishna, we're going to just disintegrate, we'll just do away with our lives. But then Lord Chaitanya explained that although the devotee feels like this, I'm going to give up my body because of separation from the Lord, the devotee never does it. Because when the feelings of separation get that intense, the Lord becomes present. And in that way, the devotee doesn't want to give up his body. He wants to use the body in the Lord's service. So in this way, Lord Chaitanya explained a very deep point about love of Krishna. The devotee feels, without Krishna, what's the use in me living? I want to give up my body because I cannot live separate from the Lord. But that feeling itself attracts the presence of the Lord, and therefore the devotee doesn't want to give up his body. So this is the ecstasy of Chaitanya Charitamrita. Just like Lord Chaitanya said, if you see tears in my eyes and think that I have great love for Krishna, you should know it's just a show. Because if I actually loved Krishna, I would have died long ago out of separation. So in this way, Lord Chaitanya is revealing the highest levels of consciousness, pure Krishna consciousness, ecstatic love of Krishna, feelings of separation from Krishna. So then, after pointing out to Sanatana Goswami that you can't get Krishna by committing suicide, you have to perform devotional service, the Lord lectured Sanatana Goswami on what it means for a Vaishnava to have a body. Lord Chaitanya said, first of all, because you're absorbed in devotional service, your body is not ordinary. And then Lord Chaitanya secondly explained, even from the Varnashram Dharma point of view, as a sannyasi, I cannot discriminate between this is a good body and this is a bad body, because such discrimination is based on sense gratification. I have to see everything as equal. So in that way, Lord Chaitanya taught two points. First of all, the Vaishnava, transcendental point. You are fully engaged in devotional service, Sanatana Goswami. Therefore, your body has become transformed. It's fully spiritual. Lord Chaitanya said that, actually, when I embrace you and your sores ooze, I'm smelling sandalwood, camphor, fragrances of the most wonderful perfumes. That's what I'm experiencing when I embrace your body. And then he pointed out on the material level of Varnashram Dharma, he said, even considering it from that point of view, still I can't object, because how can a sannyasi discriminate between this is good matter, this is bad matter? I can't do that. Then Lord Chaitanya pointed out to Sanatana Goswami that how dare you try to misappropriate someone else's property? Lord Chaitanya turned to Haridas and said, well, what do you call someone who tries to use somebody else's property? Isn't that a thief? Sanatana Goswami's body belongs to me, and he wants to take it and do what he likes according to some independent plan. This is not proper. In this way, the Lord established that he owns the bodies of his devotees, and they are meant for his service. This is a good point for us to meditate on, that how our body does not belong to us. Our body is the property of the Lord. Therefore, it's our duty to see how our senses are being used for Krishna's pleasure. This is not theory or religious belief. This is the actual science of bhakti yoga. If we simply try to act in that way, my body belongs to Krishna. What is this body doing for Krishna's interest? Then you will see the reality of Krishna consciousness. Then we'll all become so happy that we are having the chance to serve Krishna in the various services that we have here. Once we understand who owns the body. Now, what happens when we think we own the body? Oh, that's misery. As soon as you start thinking it's my body and I've got to satisfy my body, then you suffer the waves of passion and ignorance. You're filled with lust and you're filled with anger because the lust is never satisfied. You become morose, become burnt out. A couple of nights ago at our evening gatherings, we had some guests of the temple, two ladies. So we were asking everybody, how does material existence seem? How is it experienced? What is it like living separate from Krishna? So I could tell that many of our devotees, they had forgotten what it's like to exist in the clutches of, fully in the clutches of the modes of material nature. So we asked these guests of the temple, and what they said was, like, you would ask them to give Bhagavatam class. Their description of what it's like to live in Maya was so graphic and so stark. They just explained in a matter-of-fact way. You work. You try to enjoy your senses. You're always disappointed. You're never satisfied. You do this. You do that day in, day out. It was such a stunning presentation. Sometimes devotees forget the great opportunity we have for rendering service to Krishna. And then we begin to imagine in our minds there'll be freedom and creativity away from devotional service. It's all simply in the mind. Instead of speculating like that, we should see how to make the most of our opportunities that we have in Krishna's service. If everyone does that, then Krishna blesses the devotees with more intelligence how to serve him. In other words, if we can't utilize the service that we have, why should Krishna give us more service? So, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu emphasized to Sanatana Goswami, you can't do what you like with your body. Oh, that's a great offense these days for someone to tell you that. Your senses are owned by someone else. Your body belongs to someone else's purposes. But that is what Bhakti Yoga is about. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, I've got plans for your body, Sanatana Goswami. I want you to write about devotional service, delineate the principles of love of Krishna, establish Vaishnava etiquette. I want you to excavate the holy places. I want you to demonstrate what it's like to live in the renounced order. All these plans I have for you, and here you are thinking you want to give up your body. Sanatana Goswami began to consider Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He's the omniscient Lord. He knew him by planning to commit suicide, and he does not approve. So when Lord Chaitanya left, Haridas Thakur began glorifying Sanatana Goswami. Just see how fortunate you are. Lord Chaitanya has things to do with your body. The Lord is going to use his devotees just like their wooden dolls. The Lord will accomplish his purposes through his devotees. Then, showing the Vaishnava behavior, Sanatana Goswami, he thought, Haridas, you are the fortunate one. Through you, the Lord is spreading the holy name. Sanatana Goswami's attitude is so wonderful because he thought his body was material. He thought he was contaminated. Whereas Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was treating Sanatana Goswami's body as fully spiritual, surcharged with the internal potency of the Lord. The Prabhupada points out, a real devotee always thinks like that. I'm very low, I'm very contaminated. Whereas the Lord thinks, this is my dear devotee. So Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami comments that this is a symptom of love of God, that the devotee who's actually absorbed in love of Krishna thinks he doesn't have one drop of love of Krishna. Then Lord Chaitanya instructed Sanatana Goswami about the Lord's opulences and sweetness. In presenting the Lord's opulences, Lord Chaitanya quoted this verse that we have today and explained it according to four levels, how the Lord is Triadish, the Lord of the Threes. First of all, Lord Chaitanya says there's the ordinary understanding of Triadish, that the Lord is the master of Brahma, Vishnu, and Shiva. Then Lord Chaitanya said, there's an intermediate level for understanding this verse spoken by Uddhava. The Lord is the master of the three Purusha avatars, Karnadakshai, Garbhadakshai, and Chiradakshai Vishnu. Then Lord Chaitanya said, there's the highest meaning of Triadish, the Lord of the Threes, that Krishna is the master of Krishna Loka, Vaikuntha, and the material world. But Lord Chaitanya went beyond that and said, actually there's a confidential meaning to Triadish. The Lord, Krishna, is the master of the three dhams in Krishna Loka. He's the master of Gokula, Mathura, and Dwarka. In this way, the Lord explained the opulences of Krishna, how you cannot calculate the size of Vaikuntha planets, how you cannot calculate Krishna's qualities. While talking like this, suddenly the ocean of sweetness, the ocean of Krishna's sweetness awakened in Lord Chaitanya's mind. And then he started talking about Krishna's body and flute. So in Chaitanya Charitamrita, you get a record of the highest level of consciousness. Lord Chaitanya is showing what consciousness is like in the most perfect condition. The most perfect consciousness is that of Srimati Radharani. She's the dearest devotee of the Lord. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is showing it what it's like to be absorbed in feelings of separation from Krishna, being enthralled by Krishna. So, although Chaitanya Mahaprabhu started by discussing the opulences of the Lord, he said to Sanatana Goswami that, I'm going to explain that, and Krishna's Kaviraj Goswami says that the Lord was immersed in the ocean of opulences, but after talking about the opulences of the Lord, something else awoke in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Krishna's sweetness. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then quoted another verse that we found in this chapter about how the pastimes that Krishna performs in this world are so attractive that even Lord Narayan is interested. Even Lord Narayan has not seen such pastimes in Vaikuntha that Krishna performs in this world. And furthermore, it's not that the ornaments on Krishna's body are decorating Krishna. No, Krishna's body is decorating his ornaments. In this way, Lord Chaitanya spoke verses about Krishna's sweetness, his flute playing, his body. And then at the end, he caught himself. What am I talking about this to you, Sanatana Goswami? I didn't plan to talk like this. How are these words coming out of me? I intended to say something else, but I see that Krishna used me to speak to you these intimate things because Krishna is favoring you. And in that way, Lord Chaitanya closed out that particular session of discussing Krishna's opulences and sweetness to Sanatana Goswami. So on this disappearance day of Sanatana Goswami, we can pledge ourselves, our bodies. Krishna, how can it be that my body belongs to you? Let that truth manifest. Please work within me in such a way that your plans will be accomplished through me. In that connection, I have one interesting, I'll end right here, 2 minutes. One letter I received from one devotee who, well, we're praying that this will be an offering we can make to Rukmini Dwarkadish. He's an up-and-coming book distributor. Every morning we're praying, my dear Lord, please send us more Sankirtan devotees. You all are doing your great service, so we're trying to do a little bit. He's an Indian boy who came to the West and immediately fell into Maya, working in Burger King like that, and went down. And then one devotee at a preaching center in New Zealand, he was a cook there. You wouldn't consider him a big preacher, but one on Radhastami, this devotee woke up in the morning and decided, maybe I can do a special thing for Srimati Radharani. Maybe I can distribute 8 full sets of Bhagavatams today. Maybe I can do the impossible. Yeah, just, you know, no, not a book distributor, just a cook, and he just woke up with this desire. And by midnight, he had accomplished his dream on Radhastami. By midnight at Radhastami, he had sold 8 Bhagavatam sets. And this person was the last one he sold to. It was 11:30 at night. He was, oh, the miracle has happened. I've sold 7 Bhagavatam sets. I, just a fig, just a little devotee, have done this, but one more. I can do one more. So he went to the Burger King at 12 midnight, like 5 minutes before 12 midnight, marched in with carrying these big sets of Bhagavatam, you know, big boxes of Bhagavatam, said, because he knew that this person worked there and this person was favorable. So he called the person out, come out from the kitchen in Burger King, I want to show you something. And so this person bought the Bhagavatam set at 5 minutes to midnight on the end of Radhastami. That was 8 Bhagavatam sets. Now what's happening to this person? He's tasted the nectar and he's distributing sets of Bhagavatams. So this is what he writes. I try to go out on books every day. By Gaurahari's mercy, I manage to distribute at least one book wherever I go. He's finishing technical school now, and he has to stay at home to take care of his mother. So he's hoping very soon to end that responsibility and be able to full-time absorb himself in Sankirtan. I get such a taste for distributing books these days. It's an addiction. Sometimes when I get rejected, I feel so sorry for the poor people who are trying to be independent in the material ocean. I feel as if I'm selling mirrors to blind people in a hospital. They cannot see the value of these books. I've started a club at my school for preaching, and already 3 people are chanting Hare Krishna, taking cold showers at 5 a.m. I'm hoping that there'll be more sincere souls for taking shelter of Lord Chaitanya. I would like to tell you about Bhagavatam distribution. I was thinking I should do big for Krishna. I was praying to Lord Govinda, please help me do some Bhagavatam sets. I can't believe it. 6 people have taken Bhagavatam sets from me. Krishna creates millions of planets. It's not a big deal for him to help me distribute just 6 sets. But since I am so insignificant, I was so surprised. After distributing these Bhagavatam sets, I was thinking that even though I sell these boxes of books to people who come to the preaching center, I don't get the same taste as I get when I sell even one book on the street. Now he's expanding, you see. I was thinking that it's not a big deal selling books to the people who are already coming to the preaching center. Even if I don't sell the set to them, someone else, some other devotee will get to them and sell them a set. So I thought I should show my heroism on the street and try to distribute as many books on the street as possible. Then he describes how he was asked to give a presentation at his school about communication skills. So he simply made a preaching presentation about Krishna consciousness. And he said, afterwards, so many people bought books. Even my professor bought a book. So now my mother is chanting 16 rounds and reading Prabhupada's books 3 hours every day. My sister is also reading and chanting. I sold her a Bhagavatam set too. Please bless me that I become the number one book distributor. We'll see how it works out, but we're hoping that somehow that by Lord Chaitanya's arrangement he can take advantage of the Sankirtan movement here. And we'll see. All glories to Prabhupada.